Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, April 13th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the show, we discuss law enforcement and crime in the Northeast. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo are on the line to answer your questions. To take part in today's discussion, just give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Chief Hawkins, Sheriff Zerlo, and your policing questions coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We're discussing policing today with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins began his career in the Michigan Police Department in 1990. He was sworn in as Albany's 25th police chief in 2018. Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo was elected in 2013. He has spent more than 30 years of his law enforcement career working for the Saratoga County Sheriff's Office as a deputy, sergeant, lieutenant, and senior criminal investigator. The number to call with your questions is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Chief Eric Hawkins, welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Ray. It's always good to be here.
Great to have you here. And Sheriff Zerlo, welcome. How you doing? Are you there? Uh-oh.
Yeah, you there, Ray?
Yeah, hello.
Well, there you are.
Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Good, great. Hi, Chief Hawkins. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Sheriff. It's always good to hear from you also.
Hey, guys,
Thank you.
Before we get down to business here, and I guess this is part of our business here, the last couple of times you have been on, it has been during a pandemic, and we are sadly still there. And so I heard a news item yesterday. And I don't have the specific numbers, but a fairly large percentage of Marines have not yet opted to get vaccinated. And so I just wanted to see where we are in terms of your departments. Chief Hawkins, do you have any numbers on where you are as far as your officers getting vaccinated?
You know, Ray, I don't have the exact numbers, but just anecdotally, you know, just talking with my commanders and hearing from people within the department, I think the overwhelming majority of the officers have either gotten the vaccination or they're interested and waiting to get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things we know about police officers is that they're often going into group situations, and during a pandemic, that doesn't change necessarily. Sheriff Zerlo, do you have any idea what percentage of your officers have been vaccinated?
I believe we're close to 98%, Ray, throughout the whole department. I have close to 300 employees, and at last check, we're about 98%, and that 2% have chosen not to take the vaccine, and that's their personal preference. But we pretty much have everybody vaccinated in our department.
By the way, the number to call here is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. We have breaking news here on our TV in Studio A. The Brooklyn Center police officer who fatally shot Dante Wright has resigned. The police chief has also resigned. And I ask you a technical question, gentlemen, and I'll start with Chief Hawkins. And never having actually seen a taser up close, is it possible? Now, the officer in question who fatally shot Dante Wright said that, okay, I mistook a taser for a gun. Is it, in your mind, possible for someone to make that mistake?
I think it's possible. And we knew when we introduced tasers into law enforcement several years ago that this would be something that would be cause for concern. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why that the taser itself is modeled to not be identical in terms of form to a handgun, and also why we position the tasers on a different part of the body and the different part of the belt that the officers wear, and it's positioned in terms of where it's facing a little different. And so we always knew that was a possibility. But, you know, just a tragic situation. It's, you know, all around, and you know, we hate to see things like this happen.
Sheriff Zerlo.
Yes, a tragic situation out there, Ray. We also have tasers. Our deputies carry them. And like the chief said, they're on the opposite side of the duty belt. It is possible. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with the family out there in Minneapolis. And it is a possibility that it could have happened that way.
It's Policing Today on Vox Pop, and the number is 800-348-2551. I advise you to call early. Things will get loaded up here very soon. Chief Hawkins, the governor's executive order to reimagine policing required that plans be submitted by April 1st. Albany's Police Reform and Reinvention Collaborative submitted that report. It's about 13 pages long. What do you feel about those findings?
You know, I was very pleased to see so many people from the community get involved in this. You know, and that was really the purpose of it. You know, it was about getting the police departments to communicate and talk with the people that they're serving to come up with a plan that can work for both sides. And, you know, I'm pleased with the product. You know, a couple of things that I think will come out of this for us in Albany is the understanding that people in the community want to see more data. They want to see more statistics so that we can use that as a way of maybe adjusting operations or seeing things that maybe we may not have seen before. And the second thing is just this understanding that people in the community understand that police officers are being asked to do too much. We're being called to incidents where there's a social source for some of these problems, like mental health or substance abuse or some family type issues. And what came out of our collaborative is that people in this community want to see our police department partner with professionals from some of these social sciences or some of these social areas to assist us in dealing with some of those problems. So overall, you know, it was a long and arduous process. I think it was very positive, and I think we really built some more bridges in our community throughout the process.
Are there any parts of that report that you do not regard as fair?
Well, I think it was all fair. You know, people had some different perspectives and some different ideas on how policing should work and specific tactics as it relates to policing. And so I don't have a problem with those ideas. I think that a healthy exchange of ideas from individuals who see things different is good if we look at this constructively and as a way of moving forward. So overall, I think it was a good process.
We're joined today on the program by Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. Sheriff Zerlo, are you satisfied that the Saratoga County Police Collaborative Group got an accurate picture of that community concern? There was some criticism, and we talked about this last time, that group was overwhelmingly white. Are you satisfied they got an accurate snapshot of things?
I am, Ray. The group worked real hard. As the chief said, they interviewed everybody in the community here throughout Saratoga County, various groups, high schools, all other law enforcement groups, church groups. They came up with a 30-page report, 10 recommendations, some of which we're already doing. I can highlight a couple that
sure.
I kind of like, body cameras. Wanted me to engage the Board of Supervisors in looking at in-car cameras and body cameras for my deputies that I'm 100% for, and also a professional standards unit, almost like an internal affairs unit. Right now I have 5 divisions throughout the department. Each division has their own unit to handle disciplinary reports and incidents. So having one unit to oversee the whole department, I am total agreement with, and we're working out a structure plan right now. I can also tell you, I just met with representatives in regards to body cameras this morning. So we're looking to institute these recommendations. And again, some of them are talking about policies that we have here that we have been doing. So all in all, like the chief said, I am pleased the way the committee went out and interviewed the community, most of it all positive, and came up with these recommendations. And I'm looking forward to instituting the 10 recommendations that they have.
Gentlemen, we have to take a quick break here, and then we have to hit the phones. It's Policing Today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We're joined today by Eric Hawkins and Michael Zerlo, and they're ready to take your calls in a moment. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. It's Policing Today with Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. And we go to the phones. Dan in Albany. Dan, you're on.
Oh, am I on?
You are on.
Hello. Oh, yes. I wanted to ask. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to ask a couple of questions. One question is, We've advanced so much in technology. I just don't understand why, in such an advanced age, we have to have weapons that are fatal to people. Aren't there weapons that could be used that can just restrain people without killing them? And shouldn't the officers have those kinds of weapons and not have weapons that are going to end up killing people? It seems to cause so much problems for the police and the society when somebody gets killed.
Okay,
first question.
Let's go to Sheriff Zerlo.
And we do. We have tasers that the road patrol deputies do have. And again, getting back to the incident in Minneapolis, it was unfortunate that occurred there. But we do have other means. We have, lethal, the tasers. We have pepper spray. So my deputies do carry those.
And Chief Hawkins.
Same thing
why
as the sheriff.
They carry weapons every day?
Hey, Dan, hang on, Dan.
Be a substitute?
Dan, is this a rhetorical question?
For deadly weapons.
Let's just have Eric, Chief Hawkins, answer you, and then you can follow up. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I heard a little bit of his follow-up there, Ray, and I'll just address that because my first answer is exactly like the sheriff's. And why do they carry weapons? Well, the weapons are a last resort, and it's only to be used for situations where an officer's life is in danger or another person's life is in danger. And unfortunately, we live in a world where there are people who are determined to place other people's lives in danger. And so that's what they're for. And again, we use other weapons when that danger, when it doesn't rise to that level.
Okay, Dan, now you go ahead and follow up. Hello, Dan.
I want to congratulate the police chief in Albany because I know it's one of the most corrupt cities in the world. And I hear that they've done a very, very good job of staying away from the political corruption. So I want to give him my congratulations. Hope he's able to continue to do that.
All right.
Yeah, thank you, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. And Don is on Route 17. Hello there, Don.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, me?
Go ahead.
I had a situation in Brooklyn, what it amounts to is I was falsely stopped. I was detained briefly and put down on the ground in the middle of this road, sort of towards the edge, but very perilously close by the police. I'm white, and they did let me go, but they wrote up a record, which I found out later when I was going to do a civil suit. I found out that they had falsified all this information because I was drunk and I was belligerent and I was totally compliant. And the reason I'm calling, I was thinking about doing a civil case. I decided not to because I've had great experience with the police in the past. But I just want people to know it's not just people of color that are having these problems. It's white people, too. It can happen. I know police can make a mistake. And like I said, the thing about the falsified information, that's another story. But as far as, I think at some point they realize they should not have detained me.
Okay. We'll throw it to
you get that?
Sheriff Zerlo. I don't know how you comment. Yeah. It's not your jurisdiction, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, if you had an issue like that and you felt that it was different, you reach back out to the administration of the agency that you were involved with and have them look into it.
Yeah, that's what I'd rather do than make a civil case. But just the point, like I said, the fact that it's not just black people that are having problems. It can happen to anyone. And I don't know the numbers, and I know that there are numbers, and it does lean more in that direction. But still, it's not the whole story.
Okay. Well, Don, thank you very much for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. It's Policing Today with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. And let's go over to Leon in Albany. Leon, you're on.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to know, what about the idea of just letting someone go? Isn't that like the ultimate de-escalation? Like, you know what? Okay. Go. What about that idea? Does that happen often?
Letting someone go. What if you kill somebody, Leon? I mean, do you let that person go?
Yeah. Well. Look what these leads could possibly lead to. I mean, you come back another day. Someone have been broken taillights or what have you, and okay, you stop them, and things are getting. Appear to be getting out of hand. What about just okay?
Well, let's throw it over to Chief Hawkins.
You know, Leon brings up a good point. You know, obviously, you know, like you said, Ray, I mean, there's some offenses that officers just can't turn their backs and say, we'll get you next time. You know, there's some immediacy and some urgency to some situations. But one thing that's emerging in police training now more than it was 30 years ago when I started, is this idea that Leon talked about of de-escalation. And so, you know, about a little bit over a year ago, every sworn officer in the Albany Police Department, from the police chief down, went through defensive tactics training where there was a heavy emphasis on de-escalation, and not just physical, but verbal de-escalation. And so he brings up a good point. It's, you know, it's an emerging part of training, and I think that it's good for law enforcement.
All right, Leon, thanks a lot for the call. Sheriff Zerlo, do you want to comment?
Yeah, to the chief's point, we do the same here in Saratoga County with our road patrol deputies and also our corrections staff. They're put through de-escalation training at least once a year, and we look at that as training that is worthwhile for everybody. And it's a to the caller's point, there's different situations and different scenarios that we have to deal with. Some you could let people go, but others, you can't.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a question for Sheriff Zerlo and Chief Hawkins, 800-348-2551. We talked at the outset of the show about the reimagined policing collaboratives that are going on everywhere in the state. And I had a quick look at the 13-page recommendation sheet for Albany. And I know, Chief Hawkins, that you were talking about your officers now have to be so much more than peace officers. You have to be an ombudsman, and you have to be a psychologist and everything else. When looking at 13 pages here of recommendations, including some that require basically, if you want body cam footage, you just say, hey, I want that footage, and then that data has to be pulled up. Not a question of should it be done, a question of how it's going to be done. Are these reinvention suggestions and recommendations going to require much larger police budgets across the board?
In some cases, yes, Ray, and we've made it clear to our community that, you know, we're perfectly willing to take these recommendations into consideration and implement those that we can, but some may take months, some may take years. Some may take additional personnel, additional staffing. You know, right now we're seeing how we can reallocate or even add some funding so that we can make our data collection efforts even more robust to comply with some of these requests that are being made. And so you're right. I mean, it's in concept, philosophically, I agree. I'm with the most of the recommendations as it pertains to, you know, some of the additional information and additional requirements, but I think that our community needs to be reasonable in terms of expectations, timeliness of some of these implementations, and some may take a while, some may be costly.
We're joined today by Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. Sheriff Zerlo, have you heard back from the state about the submitted plans? Do we have any time? Do we know what's happening next?
We don't. It was submitted in a timely manner. Our Board of Supervisors approved it March 24th. It was immediately submitted. A receipt was received from the state that they did receive it. And I'm not going to wait for a response from the state. I'm looking at our recommendations right now, and I'm going to move forward to what this committee worked hard on for 4 months to come up with these recommendations based on the input they heard from the residents and groups in the county. As the chief said, you know, there's a couple of them I can hopefully start immediately. Other ones I'm going to have to sit down with the Board of Supervisors, body cameras. I have a large department. They're looking at in-car cameras and body cameras. I don't know what that cost is going to be, but that's a discussion I'll have with the Board of Supervisors. Some of the other recommendations on data we're working on already, and but I'll do the best I can to try to get these recommendations done in a timely manner.
You know, many times you're on, Sheriff Zerlo, and you said, I'm up to my elbows in paperwork and budget this and that. Do you have any idea of how much more money you would need to implement what is in your plan?
I don't, Ray, not at this time. Like I said, we had a meeting with the body camera vendor this morning just to lay out the logistics for the next month or two, how we're going to proceed, what we need to look at. No pricing was talked. I have no idea the professional standards unit. I'm going to need to probably hire some more people for that, along with the body camera. It's just not having deputies having body cameras on. It's retrieving the data, reviewing the data, getting that data to the district attorney's office for discovery. So there's a lot of different aspects to, you know, some of these recommendations, and we're developing a plan. And hopefully once I get all the information, I'll present that plan to the Board of Supervisors, and we can act on a couple of these.
It's policing today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins is with us, and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. And we go to Kathy in Columbia County. Kathy, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a question on the tasers. And I think, I know this is a local level here that we're talking to, and it needs to be a national issue. But why don't they make them more distinctive from a gun? I mean, they could even make them a different color, a bright, somehow. It shouldn't ever be. I know you said that it would be possible to do that, mistake them, even though they weigh differently, they feel a little different, and they're on the other side, different side of the body. But I don't understand why they, if this is a possibility, make it much less of a possibility by really making it distinguishable.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins.
And Kathy, and they are. And when I say that it's a possibility, I only say it in the sense that we put a human being in a very stressful situation, sometimes life-threatening situations, then sometimes there's a possibility that bad decisions will be made. And I always say in that context.
Anything is possible.
Yeah, but the tasers themselves, they're you know, in most cases they're bright yellow or some other bright color. They're made differently. The form of the tasers are different, and they're on a different part of the body, opposite the firearm that the officer wearing. So much has been done to minimize or almost eliminate the possibility of something like that happening. But again, when you have human beings in stressful situations, you know, sometimes mistakes happen.
Okay. That's good to know. They really are a different color and everything, which
yes,
makes it harder to even understand. But anyway, the other part is, the other guy a while ago said, why let the guy go? You stop someone for a license plate. You find out the license plate is up there in the windshield. Why are you being confrontational at all to this person?
Okay.
Why make him get out of the car even?
All right. Sheriff Zerlo.
Yeah, I don't know the circumstances that took place out there. Again, like I said previously, there's certain situations that our deputies encounter every day, where whether it be somebody not having an insurance card, you can move on. And again, I don't know the situation, what took place prior to the incident in Minneapolis. So not comfortable commenting on it.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Policing Today with Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. And back to the phones we go. Amy in Deerfield, Massachusetts. Amy, you're on.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi.
I just want a couple of things. First of all, the last two callers, I can really appreciate the kind of puzzlement and kind of head-scratching comments they're making. I agree with them about either let the guy go or why make somebody get out of the car or why does it have to be so, I think she said, confrontational or aggressive. And while those of us who are here, citizens just out in our communities who have zero law enforcement, and we realize that, how kind of, I hate to put it this way, but naive or ignorant the rest of us are, you can imagine seeing either video news reports, reading about it, how confusing and puzzling this is to see the kind of, you know, these situations and the kind of reaction to something so low level and the reaction so outsized. So my ask to both of you gentlemen is to remark on either the systematic steps of approach of not just de-escalation, but to have some other non-lethal reaction. I mean, I don't know. Seriously, I'm just a layperson here. Kick the guy in the knee and, like, disable him from walking. Anything but kill somebody. And then the other thing I want to ask about is what remark either of you can make on police groups, police federations, and unions, and being able to have more oversight or more more oversight on police people, men or women, who are repeat offenders with really, really crazy aggressive behavior that is not okay and not protocol. And it seems that I'm reading about, at least, they're moved around from department to department. In the case of Derek Chauvin, he had all of these multiple incidents that were not good.
Okay.
And why is it that, like, these, you know, cops who don't behave properly don't seem to protect and serve, why aren't they vetted out?
Okay.
Why is that not the case?
Let's throw it over to our professionals. Sheriff Zerlo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll answer the first part first. The interaction between the public and law enforcement. If you're in a situation where law enforcement is involved and you're in your car, you need to try to stay calm and follow the direction of law enforcement, what they're looking for. Again, I don't know what preceded what took place in Minneapolis. For some reason, they got him out of the car. They may have had justification to have him out of the car. I don't know. The second part in regards to disciplinary stuff, we work with the unions almost daily in regards to issues with that arise with road patrol deputies, whether it's my communications officers or correction officers. And there's a process we have to go through with the bargaining unit. And if it gets to the point where, we're up to multiple violations here, then I have recourse and there's steps I can take to either look to dismiss that officer or suspend him for a period of time.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, regarding our caller's question about unions, and this same question has been asked before about teachers in various localities. Unions too strong in the policing industry?
Well, I think it depends on one's perspective. I mean, a lot of times from a law enforcement executive perspective, sometimes we think so because we see misconduct. We see misconduct that, in our minds, as police chiefs or sheriffs, may require a termination or high-level type of response, disciplinary response. And when there's opposition from the unions regarding that, it's frustrating. So from that perspective, it may be too strong. But from an officer's perspective, sometimes it's not strong enough. Sometimes officers are in situations where they feel that they have to make split-second decisions, and It's a mistake that's made, that they may even concede that it was a mistake, and now they're being vilified and demonized and fired from their jobs, and a lot of things aren't taken into consideration, and they have unions who can articulate some of those things for those officers. So I think it depends on the perspective.
Let's take a quick break. It's Policing Today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Sheriff Zerlo and Chief Hawkins here to answer your questions. We'll be back and open the email bag in a moment. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. We are joined today by Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. And let's go to the emails here for a moment here before we get back to the phones. This is from Mr. Williams, who says, how can the community assist the police department? I want you to continue to do so. Black people seem to be the bullseye to police patrols and enforce. What are you doing to upgrade training and other stimulus-driven trainings? And we updated these units to reflect current issues. That is from Mr. Williams. Let's go to Chief Hawkins.
I think partnering with police departments and sheriff's departments with a lot of our community outreach, a lot of it, we hear so much about that outreach that people, I think, forget how impactful those interactions are. And we have so many here in Albany, and I'm sure the sheriff has them in his department, where we have opportunities to have interactions that are non-confrontational, that allows us to have constructive dialogue and about some things, and just to get to know each other as people. And so I think he's at, the call or the email. The person who sent the email is asking how they can get more involved and make things better. Well, I think just partnering with the police departments and sheriff's departments with some of these outreach efforts will go a long way.
Sheriff Zerlo, do you agree?
I totally agree. Communicating is the best thing. A couple of weeks ago, I attended an event in the town of Clifton Park, Supervisor Barrett. It was a diverse group. We had a great discussion in regards to issues that they had, not only in Clifton Park, but probably throughout the Capital District. I think communicating with them, hearing our perspective, went a long way. They actually met with the group again about a week and a half ago. I had them come to our new public safety building. They met with me here, gave them a tour, kind of showed them what we do, and I think the communicating and talking out these issues go a long way. I'm always available, and I know the chief is too, because I see him on Twitter all the time reaching out to groups. I think communicating is the best way to work some of these problems out and have a better understanding of what we do.
This one is from Drew. Can you please talk about Grossman at his killology training and explain what killology is and about the sheer number of police he's trained in this country? Also, if and how many police he's trained in the WAMC listening area and the impact it's had and how it's reflected in all of these times cops have shot unarmed civilians in under 10 seconds, give or take. I think this is the most important aspect of our contemporary American policing that almost no one is talking about. All right, Sheriff Hawkins, what is killology?
Well, Ray, I got the sheriff moniker again there. It sounds cool, Ray. I like that. I like being called sheriff every once in a while.
I almost made it through the whole show, man. All right, Chief Hawkins, go ahead.
I don't know much about Grossman's training. I've seen a little bit of it. As we're evolving in police training, we're evolving more from the warrior type perspective to the guardian perspective, and that's not to say that at some points we have to be warriors, because we absolutely have to. One of the earlier callers talked about, why do we need weapons? Well, it's because there are bad people who are determined to do bad things to others, even kill other people. And so when we are confronted with those types of people, then we have to go and revert to a warrior type mentality. And so that's absolutely something that's necessary, but also it's very important right now that you know, our officers, our law enforcement agencies, and we all understand it because we're all going through this. We've got to we're converting to this and evolving to more of this guardian type mentality, where it's about working with the community to resolve some issues before they become law enforcement issues. And we're getting there. Like I said, I don't know much about the Grossman's training beyond that.
Okay. What about you, Sheriff Zerlo? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it at all, Ray, so I'll defer comment on that.
All right, I'll throw this question to you. This one's from Mark. There are many rumors out there that police now have specialized computer scanners that can read license plates and detect registration information about any vehicle passing by. There's also information out there that the police have equipment that mimics cell phone towers so that officers can monitor cell phone traffic. Is it true? If so, how does this help officers do their job effectively? And that's from Mark.
The first part of the question is true. They're called LPRs. They're equipped in our patrol cars. I have a few cars that have them. They'll read license plates. And if a operator is suspended or revoked, or that registration is suspended or revoked, or that car is a stolen vehicle, the plate reader will be able to read that and send it back to the terminal inside the patrol unit. The second part of that, I'm not aware of any of that.
Okay.
With towers and stuff.
Since we brought up the license readers, Chief Hawkins, one of the items in this collaborative reimagining plan, and it's kind of buried in there, it said really you have to provide a written justification anytime you use that reader. Is that a reasonable and realistic proposal, or is that thing on all the time?
It's on pretty much all the time, and I don't know if that's reasonable. I think there may be some circumstances, some narrow circumstances, where it's reasonable to have an independent person review the request to use that technology. But for all practical purposes, getting advanced permission to use that is it may be impractical.
If all of that data comes up from a license plate, then why would an officer come up and say, "Can I see your license and registration, please?" They already know what the registration is.
Well, they don't in all cases. The license plate reader information oftentimes is kept in a separate database someplace else. And there's also a strong possibility when they're stopping a vehicle that vehicle did not go through one of the readers that are positioned in different parts of the city. Okay. And so it may not have, that information may not have been captured.
All right, this email from Mitch, and then we'll get back to the phones here for the balance of the program. Mitch writes, facial recognition. I see in the news lots of administrations are pushing for more facial recognition software. Knowing all the issues with how facial recognition works and how uncomfortable it makes people, why is there such a large push to implement it into policing systems? We'll go to Chief Hawkins first.
Thanks, Ray. Yeah. It's helped us, and I understand the privacy issues and concerns that people have regarding that piece of technology, but it's helped us with some very violent crimes. It's helped us with other types of incidents that we've been dealing with in the aftermath of identifying individuals who have been involved in some very bad things in our community. We're not sitting behind a screen looking at everybody who's captured within the our camera system, wherever it may be, and trying to find out who those people are. We only use that facial recognition under very, very narrow circumstances, and it usually involves a very, very serious crime and simply trying to identify a person that we have captured on camera to see if we can get the identity of that person who is in all likelihood involved in a very, very serious crime.
Sheriff Michael Zerlo.
The same here. It's a case-by-case basis. It's helped us with some serious crimes, as the chief has said. So it's a tool for us, and we're not sitting there, like the chief said, looking continuously. It's a case-by-case basis. It has helped us in some cases that we've handled here in the county.
It's Vox Pop Today, policing with Sheriff Zerlo and Chief Hawkins, 800-348-2551. We go to Glens Falls, and Stephen, you're on.
Hi. So I have a simple question about qualified immunity. I read recently about a man in, I think, Louisiana who spent 20 years in prison for stealing two shirts and just got out. And yet, between the collation of police-associated firearm usage that the Washington Post collects and other sources, it seems like police have this kind of good forever, get out of any jail free card in the form of qualified immunity. Would one of you or both of you please give a rational justification for the use of qualified immunity? And I will hang up and listen.
All right, let's let both of our guests discuss that. Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo, you first.
Yes, in regards to the qualified immunity, you know, I'm not familiar with the article in the Washington Post or the situation down in Louisiana. So, again, I'm going to defer comment on it, and if the chief wants to answer, I'll defer to him.
Chief Hawkins.
Well, pretty much the same response as the sheriff, but I also want to point out that police officers have gone to jail. Police officers have been prosecuted for wrongdoing. So I think I disagree with the blanket statement that the caller made that officers have a get out of free jail card for any type of misconduct or violation of the laws. Now, there may be some disagreement as to how it maybe should happen more frequently. That argument may be there, but there are cases, there are mechanisms in place in our judicial system that allows for police officers who have been involved in misconduct and violations of laws to be prosecuted.
We're joined today by Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. And let's go back to the phones here. We go to Troy, New York. Kathy, you're on.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you both for your service. Either one of you can answer this. Are police routinely screened and evaluated psychologically? Is psychological evaluation something that is required before someone can become a police? Are there psychological evaluations throughout the term of employment as a police officer? Because there are people, and I know some actually, who have had some childhood experiences that I would think are really questionable for them to be carrying around a gun. So is that something that is provided?
Okay. All right, let's go with
the forces.
Chief Hawkins, you go first.
Yeah, and part of our background process and our hiring process is for every person, every recruit, or every applicant must pass a psychological screening. So it is absolutely a part of our hiring process. Now, after that, there's no requirement. And so I think there are some opportunities in law enforcement for us to have some ongoing psychological screening. I think at first, probably voluntarily, but as we evolve, maybe this is something that is worked into our CBAs or our collective bargaining agreements that requires it. But at this point, it's just at the outset of hiring.
Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo.
Likewise. So we do an extensive background investigation for a new hiree. Part of that investigation, part of that process is an extensive mental health evaluation that's conducted. And there is nothing in place from that point that member is hired. If we see signs that a deputy is having some issues, we have an EAP group here, and supervisors will bring it to our attention to other staff members, and we'll address the issue accordingly.
Only about 2 minutes left here. Let's try to grab a call or two before we're done. Jim in Saratoga. Jim, you're up.
Yes, I was with the repeal of 50A. I'm curious from both of these guys if their agencies intend to release officers' entire disciplinary files, as New York City has done. My own city of Saratoga Springs has decided to release only substantiated complaints, which prevents people from knowing if the officer has a trend towards bad behavior. So I'd like to hear from them on what they intend to do in this regard.
All right, since you're a Saratoga caller, we will go to Sheriff Zerlo first.
I have no plans on releasing it to the public. 50A, I deal with the district attorney's office on a case-by-case basis for discovery material and 50A material when they're prosecuting a case.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins.
No plans to publicly put that information out there, but we are 100% compliant with any request under 50A for information regarding our officers.
Let's quickly go to Catskill. And Quinn, you're on. You'll be the last one today. You have about 30 seconds.
Hi, this is the chief and the sheriff.
Yeah.
Must every shot be a deadly shot?
Does every shot need to be a deadly shot? Chief Hawkins.
Well, we like to say if an officer is using a weapon, it should be a last resort, and it should be only under extreme circumstances where an officer's life or somebody else's life is in danger. And we teach our officers to shoot to incapacitate. In other words, shoot to stop that threat.
Hmm. All right. Well, we have about 15 seconds. Sheriff Zerlo.
Yeah, the same here. It's the shoot to stop the threat.
Hey, guys, you know, it's great that you continue to join us via the phone, and I have a feeling the next time we get together in 6 months or so, around there, we'll be in the studio. Stay safe, be well, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks for being here, both of you.
Okay. Thanks, Ray.
Yep.
Take it easy.
Good to talk to you as well, Sheriff.
Same here, Chief. Thank you.
See you, guys. Support comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, providing design, production, and project management for trade shows, museum exhibits, special events, and custom interiors. Your partner for a custom experience, EmpireExhibits.com. Kent Hicks Construction Company, featuring East Branch Homes, a new division of hybrid prefab homes that are net zero ready and low in embodied carbon, traditional to modern styles available. EastBranchHomes.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, offering wine and craft spirits from around the globe and from local artisans. Hand-picked selection of wines, single malts, and small batch bourbons, grapes and grainswine.com. And the Henyon Bakery, Amherst since 1993, offering hearthbreak breads, pastries, all special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. Open Tuesday through Friday, 7 to 4, Saturday, 7 to 2, HenyonBakery.com. All right. I muddled through the underwriting once again. I'm sure we'll get some complaints about that. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Chief Hawkins and Sheriff Zerlo for being here today. And sorry if we didn't get to your call. These guys will come back eventually, maybe 5-6 months from now. We'll do it again. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Ashley Lindsay answered the calls. Our producers, Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's nostalgia, comic books, and sports cards. How can you lose?